pass away, but Jesus never fails. Hallelujah. If you believe, you say, praise the Lord. If you believe that Jesus never fails, say, thank you, Jesus. If you really believe it, shout hallelujah. That Jesus has never failed and will never fail. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to bring up a topic that I believe will bless everybody here this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the topic is, God's word will sustain itself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, God's word is able to uphold itself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The word of God is able to sustain itself. It doesn't need help from Emmanuel. It doesn't need help from Bro James. It doesn't need help from anybody, any other creation. The word of God is capable and able, abundantly able to sustain itself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Nobody can uphold his own word. I can't. You can't. Without God's support. None of us can uphold our own words. You know, over time I start looking at certain things. People make promises with the intention to keep their promise. They really have the mindset to keep the promise they've made. And they make a promise with good intention, but they could not keep it at a critical time. They don't intend to deceive you. They have no intention of failing. But when the chips come down to it, they find out they could not keep to their promise because they have limitations. Over time, great men, small men, monarchs, kings, emperors, presidents have trumpeted what they will do. I can go down in history of time from the time of Jesus, before Jesus, down to Julius Caesar, every one of them, even to the modern day president that is sitting, they have made promises. And many of them really, really have intention of keeping the promise of what they have said they will do. But at a point, they just find out that they have limitation. With all the power they think they have, with all the authority they assume they have, certain things may happen. They may get sick, they may run out of power, they may run out of money, they may run out of the will of the people to support them. One thing or the other can happen, and they find out, I cannot keep my promise again. Then they fall short. And when they fall short at that critical time, people start to wonder, why is it that this person made this promise and couldn't keep it? If you have time to explain it to you, they will tell you, I wanted to keep this promise, but I couldn't. We also know that husbands make promises to wife, and wife make promises to husband. Friends make promises to friends, children to father, children to their parents, parents to children. I will pay your school fees when it's ready for you to go to college. And they really meant it. Only maybe days for you to go to college or weeks, they learn out of job or money or one thing or the other happen. Your father never meant not to keep that promise. He wanted to send you to college and pay for it. But it didn't happen like that because he is man. He has limitation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he couldn't keep his promise. I have made promises I wanted to keep and sincerely meant to keep it. But just when it is time for me to keep it, something else happened that made my promise null and void. I couldn't keep it again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In TV, in radio, in newspapers, in everywhere you go, you hear promises being made. And people say, this promise is made today, and then tomorrow you find out what? It's a broken promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But today we are going to talk about somebody who, when he says it, he does it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today I'm going to bring out certain things from the scriptures that show you that the word of God is infallible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wrote here, let me read it out. In the TV, in radio, in newspapers, in churches, we hear and see on daily basis broken and failed promises. I will do this if you elect me, some president will say. Till then, do we part? Some people will say at the marriage altar. In richer or in poor, in sickness or in death, only for it to last few days or few months or few years. And the same promise they've made with all good intention comes to nothing. Not for want of trying, but for some reason they couldn't keep it. All these combined, and that's one of the points I want to bring out today. All these failed promises, all these disappointments, all these broken promises we hear every time, it has combined to mess up the mind of children of God regarding to the infallible promises of the Word of God. Now, all this combined, I said, made up the mind of believers to the point that they find it hard or impossible to believe God's promises. The infallible Word of God now become fallible. Few, seriously, and I say few, seriously, and I'll bring across my point by God's grace. Few seriously believe that God is able to keep his promises. Have you ever asked yourself, do I fully believe that God is able to keep the promises he has made? If you do, if you tell me that you do, I may challenge you on some areas that shows your limitations, my own limitations in this area. Do I fully, convincingly, assuredly believe that God is able to keep his word? If we totally believe his infallible promises, or if we claim it so, where are the results in the life of Christians today? That's the question I ask myself sincerely. If I say that I believe the word of God without doubt, without failure, with everything that is in me, where are the results? The results should come in the action, in the scene, in the manifestation. Where is it today among the people of God? Where is it among the children of God? Where is it manifesting among us? We dress up and we come to church and we praise God and we go home. And we say we believe this word of God, but it does not really manifest in our life. We don't stand our ground to claim that promises to the utmost. And so we see things going bad among us. We see sicknesses, we see death. We see our children going the other way. We see ourselves failing. We see our finances going bad. We see our health. Just different things. You can name so many things that the word of God has covered each and every one of them. God has made this promise to you as a child of God. But then it doesn't manifest. Hallelujah. It's going to be a message of edification. And a message that will also help you to search. Search your soul, search your mind. And tell yourself the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's start from reading Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9 and 11. Isaiah 55, you can put it on the scripture, please. Glory be to God. Isaiah 55, chapter 55, verse 9. Somebody there? All right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll read it if it doesn't come up in a meeting from the Bible. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Go to verse 10, please. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and renoweth not that thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. 11. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. Amen. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, it shall prosper in the things wherefore I sent it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here is God confirming it at the beginning of this scripture that even as he can make rain, when the crowd gathers, rain falls. He said that when it falls, this rain that falls soaks the ground and makes the seed to grow and to bring food to people so that we can be nourished. That so shall it be according to God's word, the word that comes out of the mouth of God. It shall not come back to God empty. That whatever God has sent his word to do, that word will be manifested. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God has sent the word. The question is, why are we not seeing it prospering in our individual lives as children of God? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Before we go into the crux of the matter, I want to bring out one point. What is God's word? What is God's word? We hear the word of God. We hear the Bible. We hear this thing. And, you know, if you look at this Bible as a book, if you look at it as a piece of paper or something, it could be a book just to you. To some people, it's nothing. To some people, it's just a piece of paper. Some people, it's just something written by somebody. But if you look at this word and what it contains as the word of God, a change will start in your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. God's word is God. That's one thing I want to establish in our mind this morning. That the word of God is God himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's turn to John chapter 1 verse 1. John 1:1, if you have it open, please. John 1:1. Glory be to God. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? Amen. The same Word that was in the beginning, that was with God, the same Word is God. So the Word of God in a written form is this. This is the Word in its written form. Or spoken form. The spoken word can come through me to you. The spoken word can come through anybody here who has the Spirit of God to speak to somebody. The written word is given here. The everlasting God endures. He is the same in all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when somebody speaks to you and truthfully speaks to you in the name of the Lord, they are giving you the word of God. If what they say is in line according to the will of God and according to the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I say here, God's word is alive. It's a life force of such dimension that we cannot comprehend it. It is sharper in a point, say it's a sharper than two-edged sword. That is how God's word is. God's word is also at a point a consuming fire. God's word is everything to mankind. Because God's word is God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And at a point, as I was looking at this thing, he says in Mark chapter 13 verse 31. Mark chapter 13 verse 31. He says there that heaven and earth may pass away, but not single word of God will pass away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We'll get to that point. Why will God be willing to destroy heaven and earth, move it away, do away with the whole 2 billion people in this world, do away with everything he created, rather than to let one single word to fall to the ground? Because the word himself is God. In our tradition, they say that a man is not better than his word. You are what you say. A man that cannot keep his word is half not a man. Or a woman for that matter, or any person. So also does God see himself. If he says it, he will do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If God has spoken his word to any one of us, through any means, any medium, God is able to do what he has said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 138 verse 2. I'm going to rush this because this is a fasting weekend. I know we need to break and do some other couple of things like breaking of bread and so on. Psalm 138 verse 2. If you have it open, please. 138 verse 2. And in this it says, I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said that God has magnified his word above all his name. What does that mean? A name is a source of identification. I'm called Emmanuel. Oba. That's how they know me. You are called Joseph, you are called whatever it is you are called. It's a name, means of identification. They can call you whatever. If God's word cannot back up his name, then he's no more God. That's why when he say, I am Jehovah Jireh, that's one of the manifestations of the name of God. We say that it's God that is able to provide. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In another way, I say, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. I'm the Lord that can provide. I will do that. That is just his name. But every name you can call God, every title you can assign to the name of God, falls under the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why he made it clear here. He said, I don't care what you call me. If you cannot believe my word, if you cannot accept my word, then whatever you call me will not manifest to you. He says, my word is magnified even above my very name, says the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because, back to the point again, I want you to remember in the course of this discussion, God is his word. The word of God is God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You cannot separate the word of God from God. You can decide not to give him that name. You can say he doesn't qualify in this way, in that name. But you cannot separate God from his word. That is why God would rather have the whole heaven and earth to pass away than allow one word of God to fall to the ground. The day God failed his word, he is no more God. That is how deep it is. The day God cannot uphold or sustain his word, the day God cannot do what he says, I will do, then God is no more God. That is what makes a difference between man or God. Man and God. Man, woman, any of us can make promise. We can say it with good intention, as I said in the beginning. With absolute certainty, tomorrow, I'm going to do this to you, brother so-and-so. I will give you this, so and brother so-and-so. Find out you are in the hospital in the morning. You can't keep that promise. Find out that the money you thought was in the bank didn't come through. You can't keep that promise. Find out that what you just believe you can do, you'll find out that you have limitation. That is what happens in the world. But God has no limitation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you believe it in your heart that the word of God is God and the promises of God, he is able to do it, then there should be results. There shall be evidence. There shall be manifestations of those things in your individual lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Just to show you another reason why God, he will do whatever he has to do to fulfill his word. There are so many of these, but I'm going to point out a few. One time he called the children of Israel. According to the time of promise, he promised children of Israel 400 years in captivity and so on, and I will redeem you. At the appointed time, he called them out and took them on a journey. With the power of God, with manifestation of great might and demonstration of the power of God, he brought them from Egypt. Along the way, unbelief kicked in. Unbelief can rot a terrible price in the life of an individual. God cannot do anything for you unless you are able to believe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You are tying God's hand when you cannot believe his word and you walk on unbelief. You say, how does that happen? It takes two, you and God, to work out God's perfect will for your life. Let's say I want to meet you here at the church. You call me and say, Brother Emmanuel, I need something. And I say, sure, I can do it for you, Sister So-and-so. Meet me at the church at 9:15 a.m. tomorrow morning. And tomorrow morning, I drove down here and waited for you at 9:15. But in the night, you start doubting and saying, hey, is Brother Emmanuel willing to do this? Can he do this? I know that he may not have it. And you do not show up. Will I be able to fulfill my promise? No. Because even though I am there, you are not there. That is what unbelief is. When you walk in unbelief, you tie the hand of God to do what God has promised to do. So God brought out these children of Israel on a journey. Promised them to go to the promised land in a few weeks or something like that. Demonstrate the power of God in Egypt. Say to them, I will show you that I am God. Along the way, they made some trials, some few trials, or what we might call serious trials, or whatever you want to define it as. They started doubting God. To a point that they start to rebel and start to say, return us back to where we came from. And God was wroth and angry. And he wanted to kill the whole 600,000, about a million souls. And Moses started to plead with God. And say, what will the God of the heathen say? That you have brought them out and not able to take them to the promised land, that's why you killed them. And so God said, okay, I will listen to you. I will not kill them. I will not destroy them now, but none of them will see this promised land. I'm bringing this for a reason. That God will go to any extent to keep his word. Any extent. So, he promised not to kill them. That is his word. He also promised that they will not see the promised land. That is God's word. What did he do? The journey that was to take few weeks. How many years does it take for them to see the promised land? 40 years. And within that period, the Bible says all of them that walked in unbelief, they died on the way. That is how far God can go to keep his word. Whether it is in the positive, whether it is in the negative, if you say, I will remove this, if you say, I will plant this, if you say, I will uplift this, whatever God says, he is able to do, and he has the will and the power and the might to bring his word to fulfillment. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? That's why when we are singing that song at the beginning, say, God, Jesus, he never fell. That though heaven and earth might pass away, God's word will never fail. God's word is for you and for me. Let's open 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Kings 7, 1, please. 2 Kings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Now hear this. I shall bring up just a couple of instances to show you that God will do whatever that needs to be done to keep his word. This is a story of the children of Israel. A city in Samaria that was besieged by the Syrians. Besieged in those days means that somebody carried their own troops, their own military soldiers, and come and surrounded the whole city of Phoenix. And so, nobody can bring food from California, from Texas, from any other place to Phoenix for weeks, for months, for years. And we ate up all the food that is here, and there is famine also and drought. And before you know it, there was no food in all the land. The king of Syria besieged Samaria, a land in Israel. And this famine got so bad that at a point, people start to eat their own very children. At a point, people was buying dungs, you know. If a bird poops, they will buy it. If at all you are lucky to find one, you buy it for dollars and dollars. There was no food in the whole land. The king of Israel, the big and the small, the multi-millionaires and the billionaires ran out of food. And they were in this situation when this story started to happen. Then Elijah said, that's why I said in the beginning, that the word of God can come to you through somebody. The word of God can come to you through the written form. The word of God can come to you in dreams and in vision. The word of God can come to you by angelic presence, as we see as we move on. The word of God can come from you from even a small one that is in your midst, or the greatest one. All you have to do is to make sure you verify it, that it is in line with the written word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then Elijah said to these children of Israel, hear this. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, that's within 24 hours, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and a measure of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. That is a hard one. People are in famine to the point that they eat their own children. One woman called the king of Israel and said, oh king, me and this woman made a pact for us to eat our children, and we ate mine, and tomorrow he didn't want to bring us. That is how terrible the famine was. Evil was being done in the land. And God brought this situation because they were doing evil, and now they're suffering the consequences. But the same God turned around and said to them, tomorrow I will revise it through the word of prophet Elijah. An irrational man among them said, even if God will open the windows of heaven and rain down food, how can we go from no bread, not even a single bread, to a single loaf of bread selling for 10 cents within 24 hours? It is an impossible situation. That's a rational mind. That's a mind that says 2 plus 2 equals to 4. But the eyes of faith says different in some cases. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Say tomorrow about this time, a measure of flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord whose hand the king leaned on, the man who, verse 2, the man of God said, and said, behold, if the Lord will open the windows of heaven, how can this be? Then I say to you that if God wants to do something, he will do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He will use whatever avenue. How did God fulfill this his word? He said that 4 lepers who have nothing to eat, they are dying. They decided, okay, if we stay here, we are definitely going to die. But if we step out and go to these military people that besieged our city, maybe they will have mercy and give us something to eat. So they started going. And as they were marching, 4 lepers who couldn't even march at a full step, hobbling around, going, he said that as they were marching, God turned their footsteps to like 1 million soldiers marching. And the Syrians in their camp start to hear. What were they hearing? They were hearing like 1 million people coming to attack them. As the lepers were going, step 1 from the gate, step 2, they were hearing it at a point. The hundreds of thousands of soldiers that surrounded the camp of the city of Samaria, they started to panic and say, Israel must have hired military warriors from the Hittites, from the Egyptians, to come and attack us. And they ran for their life. As they were running for their life, they left all the food they come with. Their camels, their gold, their silver, every food item for hundreds of thousands of soldiers was left there in the camp. A camp that stretched miles and miles and miles. And they ran away for their life. The reapers came and there was food. They ate and ate and ate, took some and hide it, come back again and said, no, we will go back and tell the king. And they came and told the king and said, we have seen something. He said, what is it? He said, the camp of the Syrians is deserted. There is food everywhere. Do you know that this king, who, if you go to chapter 6, have heard what God can do through this man of God, Elisha? There were cases where God has used Elisha, and this king was aware of it. They have dealt together in the past. He started reasoning. That is where many of us have problem with the word of God. We start reasoning. We started pulling our mind, our level. What did he say in the beginning of this word? He said, God is different from you. That as the ways of God is higher and far and deeper than whatever you can think. But from time to time we start reasoning, we start wondering, how can this thing be? Even though God has said it, unbelief creeps in. And that is why we are not seeing manifestation of God's promises in our individual life, in the life of our loved ones, in our prayer life, in the things we desire of God. If God says it, God is able to do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And the king says, lepers, yeah, I'll tell you what happens. The Syrians has know that we are hungry. And what they did is that they went away and hid in the bush and left all this food. So that when we come to take this food, they will come. When we leave our gates, our city, to come and take this food, they will kill us. That is human reasoning. The word of God have already told him yesterday that within 24 hours, you are going to have food in such abundance that you will buy a loaf of bread for 10 cents. Bread you haven't seen for months. But the word of God has spoken. The point I want to bring across is this, that if God says he will do it, don't worry about the avenue or how he will do it. He will do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And many a times I have figured something that this is how it is going to go. In my own mind. And then God turned it around and do it completely opposite. Leave the figuring to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let God figure out how he is going to do it. He said in the beginning that word is with God. And that word is God. And that word is God. And if God's word is word, he cannot say anything he hasn't already figured out from the beginning. He's not going to figure it out after he said it. Me and you, we say stuff, and when we say it, and then we try to figure out, how can I make it work? Whoops, I just promises I made. I don't think I can do it. Okay, I want to do it. You shovel this, you push this, you move this, only to find yourself going into deeper mess. That is not the case with God. So, the king took his people, they went, and there was food everywhere. And according to the word of God, there was food enough for them to sell bread for that amount that the prophet of the Lord have said. And when that man that doubted God, doubted the prophet of God, and opened his mouth wide and said, even if God opens the window of heaven, how can this thing be? The promise we make is very important. And it hurts us when we couldn't keep it. This is just man on our own level. When you are sincere and you make promises and you really want it to work out, it hurts you when you couldn't keep it. I finished writing this stuff already. And I got a call yesterday around 4 p.m. to come and meet a man who tried to take his life. So I drove down to meet with the man. Handsome man, he looks like a movie star. Full hair, everything, just looking great. Wasn't sick, nothing. So they allowed me inside. This was just yesterday. And I say, how are you? He say, well, not too good. So I had you trying to take your life. He said, yes. So, without going into too much detail, I asked him, what brought you to this level? Say, well, scientifically, they called me that I have a major depressive disorder. But that the beginning of it was I have failed in my promises. I took a look. I said, what? Say, yes. So I failed God, I failed my wife, I failed my son, I failed, he named so many things he has failed. I'm not going to go into detail. But the thing is that he has made promises or certain things he intends to do. At a point, something happened that threw him off the road. And he started going downhill. And then spirit of delusion came and destruction came. And then he had this depressive disorder to the point that he decided to take his own life. We spent a lengthy time yesterday to turn him back to God. We made a prayer of deliverance and prayer of salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But the point, one of the things I thought that God took me there is that if man fell in his true sincere promises, it hurts him. It makes you feel bad. And how much more God in heaven? He has no intention of failing in any promise he has made to me and you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No intention at all. And he hurts God very much when you cannot capitalize on his promises because of your unbelief. It pains him. We never thought of that, do we? That when you say, Emmanuel, come and meet me, and I say, I'm coming and meeting you, I'm giving you what I promised to do, and you are not there, that I will not feel good about it. That is exactly what I want you to think about God today. That when God has taken time to make all these promises in his word, and you cannot capitalize and make use of it, whether in your money or finances or healing or family or issues at work or whatever it is, you cannot take something out of here to say to God, this is your word. I believe it and I stand by it. Then something is wrong. A few weeks ago, I couldn't walk. So I was told to do something. I said, by the time you will stand here to preach, you will be healed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I've never looked at it. I just take that stuff. They see it. The MRI they did. I took it out a few weeks ago, anointed it, and put it under here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I never looked at it, maybe once till now. Say, by the time I'm standing here to preach, Lord, you will find a way to take out this situation. I'm not going to go into a lot of stories about it. The MRI, the neurosurgeon, people that were involved, and what the doctor said, and so on. Or the nights I couldn't sleep or stand or sit. But at a point, I say, I have to capitalize on the promises of the Word of God. He may use the doctor. He may use whoever. But by the time I stand here to speak, I will be able to stand without falling. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I say, go and anoint that piece of paper that the MRI guy has given you. I come and took anointed it and put it under here. I say, Lord, it's your word. I wrote a couple of promises of the word of God on it and say, that is your word. I wrote, the Lord has given me a total healing to his glory. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. Isaiah 53 verse 5. That is God's word. I throw it in his face. I'm believing you, Lord. And I put it here and I say, I will believe you. And I believe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God's glory, I'm standing here speaking to you guys this morning. Give him a clap. Give him a hand of clap. We have to capitalize on the word of God. Glory be to God. What mindset and attitude should we have towards the word of God? This is the main topic that I want you to listen very, very well on this part. What attitude should we have towards the word of God? I said here, at times it takes the irrational mind to believe that God is able to sustain his word. And I was told something when I brought that thing up to read. If at the end of my speaking this morning, you are able to take one promise from this word of God concerning any issue, whether you are children, whether your finances, whether your life, if you are able at the end when I speak to take one single word of God and step out here we will give a time limit to that issue, and God will honor it in Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So think of what you want. Pick a word of God. If you don't know what the promise of the word of God said about it, ask somebody around. Go to the pastors. Go to anybody here. Say, I have this issue. I want one single promise of God. And step out by faith. What attitude should we have towards God's word? At times it takes the irrational mind to believe God, that God is able to sustain his word. For the Bible says, and this is not rational. Rational mind is, as I said, 2 plus 2 equals to 4. 3 plus 2 equals to 5. 5 minus 2 equals to 3. If I do this, this will happen. If science says take this acid and point this, it will produce this, it will happen. That is the way things work in the natural. But look at what the faith of God says. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Quickly here. Hebrews 11 1. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you have it open, please. Hebrews 11 1. And it says, he says in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now that is not rational. You are hoping for something, and you already have it in your hand. And then it's the evidence of things you have not even seen. That is the working of faith. Faith is the substance of things you hope for and evidence of things you have not seen. How rational can that be? Look at Abraham. He received the word of God. A man that does not have a child. He's barren. He's in his 90s. Or his wife in the 70s has passed the bearing age of time. But he received the word of God. And the Bible says he went ahead and changed his name and said, my name is no more just Abraham, but Abraham. Father of many nations. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And many people heard him and said, what kind of fool is this? How can you call yourself father of nations when you don't even have a single child? But that is faith in action. When you can believe what you do not even see. When you can hold what you expect. When you can hold, feel it, have a substance, a tangible feeling that I have it, what I am expecting. When what you are hoping for, you have the evidence of it in your hand. It's not rational. The topic I say here, this last part is, what mindset should we have towards the word of God? Let's read Numbers chapter 23 verse 19. Numbers 23, 19. Numbers 23, 19. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What mindset are you, do we, every one of us have towards the word of God? What mindset should we have? Number 23:19. Okay, it's already on the same. Say, God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and he shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. If God said it, shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? No, as I have said it several times, there is a difference between me and you and God. If we speak by faith and hold on to the word of God, And by God's grace, we can do what we said we want to do. But we have limitation. Here is one single person, our Lord Jesus Christ, that has no limitation. When he say it, he can do it. He's different from me and from you. As we about to close, I want everybody to stand on their feet. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If God has spoken it, he is able to do it. Many of us are like Zechariah in the Bible. Zechariah prayed for a child, just like Abraham. Him and his wife Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. They start to pray, they start to believe God. And God decided to honor them. Now this man is a big pastor, a big evangelist, anointed. People are waiting for him to come and preach. He went in to offer into the inner tabernacle to offer an incense unto God. And here comes an angel standing right by his side. Luke chapter 1. And it says that this angel greeted him, told him that he's going to have a son, that his prayers was heard by God, and he came to deliver the answer and to tell him upfront. Told him that this son of yours will be a mighty man of God. Tell him what of things he will eat and don't eat. Give him details of what the son will be, what the son will be like, what the work of this son will be. Spoke all these things to this great man of God. He turned around and questioned the angel of the Lord. And the angel got a little pissed off with that question in verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. It's like, you say, I want you to understand what is coming from here. Say, that stand in the presence of God. I'm delivering a message from God to you. And you should know better than to question, can God do this? I am Gabriel. I am a servant of God. I have spoken according to this word to you. You do not have a right to question the Almighty or to doubt him or to say, can he do it? God can do it. I say God can do it. It doesn't matter what it is. He may use any avenue. The lepers, he used them. He could have caused an earthquake. He could have used any, but he just decided, okay, I will use the foolish things to confound the wise. He sent four lepers. They started walking and marching, and their footsteps magnified to a million soldiers, and the other soldiers started running, and there was food everywhere. In the other instance, he made them to walk around for 40 years to bring his word to pass. So I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I speak to thee and show thee this glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. You cannot speak. In verse 20, you will be dumb and will not speak until what I've spoken come to pass. I will not even allow you to preach again. I will not allow you to pass that incense and go. So he finished. He came out to come and bless the people. He couldn't talk, preach. He couldn't preach. Because what? He should know better than to doubt the word of God. An angel standing. And you say, well, angel doesn't stand by my side to tell me other things. This is the word of God for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Many of us are like Zechariah. We prayed, we believe God, but when it comes for the time for the answer of prayer, we doubt God. We started adding 2 plus 2 equals to 4, not 2 plus 2 equals. Faith is not rational like me and you would think. It is a 6th dimension of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The attitude we should have is like Mary in the Bible. A virgin girl that has no child before or married,
And angel, the same Gabriel came to him and said, blessed are among women, blah, 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 blah. Your cousin Elizabeth is already pregnant. He that they said that cannot have baby is now pregnant with a child. And he said to her, because with God, nothing shall be impossible. He prepared her young mind, tell her to stand firm. And because he has to believe. And when she finished speaking, tell her that you are going to have a child. Say, you're going to have a child. And the Holy Ghost say, well, I know I can have a child, but how is it going to be? Not doubting. Just, can you explain to me? Say, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And the child you will bear is not just ordinary child. It's a son of God. And what did this woman say? She didn't doubt. I mean, if you talk that to the doctors, they will laugh you to where anybody say, well, there's never be. There has to be a seed from here, and this and that, to fertilize the egg, and there's this and that. You know, that is the way, that is the rational, that is the truth as far as the level of life is concerned, or word of man, or the process of things. But faith says that God can do the impossible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Somebody repeat it with me. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And she said, okay. Say, let it be unto me according to thy word. Somebody say hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Say, let it be unto me according to thy word. Somebody repeat it with me. Let it be unto me according to thy word. Another instance and we close. Peter, an ignorant fisherman, but very experienced, went fishing all night. The fisherman will tell you when the wind is blowing that way, fish will come that way. When certain things is doing this way, this will happen because they are trained, even in the scientific way of knowing where the fish will be. And he toiled all night to catch fish with his partners. And no single fish. They didn't catch anything. In the morning, they washed their nets, tidied up after 12-hour shift. Wanted to go and get some sleep, only that Jesus came and said, can I borrow your boat just for some time? And speaking to people, and they are pressing on me, and you know, I don't want to fall inside the water. So if I can sit on your boat for these few minutes, say, sure, might as well use it for something. So Jesus stood on the boat, say, move it a little into the water. They move it into the water so that people cannot fall on Jesus. And he spoke to them, preached to them, blessed them, and finished. I said, okay, I want to reward this man that did this. I said, Peter, yes, move your boat back into the sea again for a drought. My God. Anyway, the rational mind will say, I have toiled all night. We have caught nothing. I know the ways of the fish. If they cannot bite in the night, what do you think they will do in the day? The noise has driven them out. The wind is this way, that is way. But what did he say? He said that time-honored statement. Nevertheless, at thy word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say it with me. Nevertheless, at thy word. In other words, I've looked, I've seen, I know that according to science, according to the rational mind, according to the way of things, there should be no fish in this sea at this point. There is no way I can catch a fish at this time of the day when I tried in the night where they come to bite, I couldn't get anything. But because you have said it, because that word has gone out, nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to do what you said. And he pushed the boat back into the sea, took the net he has packaged and wrapped and covered, took it out and threw it out into the sea, and the word of God has spoken. Amen?
Amen.
They have called a catfish. They have called I don't know the names of the fish, each and every one of them, and say, start coming, the word has spoken. Amen? And they were running from east, from west, from south, and the one that he created even some at that particular time. That is how far God is able to go to keep his word. And when he threw the net out there, they said they have a drought of fish. They have so much that they put it in their boat, and the boat filled up and was sinking, and they have to call order. That is abundance of blessing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When we start to believe the word of God, when we start to doubt our doubts, when we start to question our unbelief, when we start to look the truth in the face and say, look, this is not what God has for me. There has to be a difference. There has to be a difference. The word of God has said this. I'm just going to make a fool of myself and say it and put it the way God says it, and I will stand and see the deliverance of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you throw it on the line like that, God will have to think twice. He will honor his word. The word of God is a consuming fire. The word of God is God. If God say it, he's able to do it. Hallelujah. I want the praise team, actually you guys are included on this. I want you to take a minute or two. If you have any situation, chronic issue, problem that have lasted for years, things that you just have prayed and it wouldn't go, I want you to pick one single or two. One is enough. If you don't know what it is, ask somebody. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And step out here and let us pray. Glory be to God. Any issue, just one single word of God that God has spoken regarding to your situation, and God is able to stand by his word. We do it as we sing this song. And those who have something already, please come out so that we can do this. I say, Jesus never fell. My Jesus never fell. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fell. Never fell.